Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. Greetings. This is Mama 7, and I am awake this morning. We're getting ready for these devotions. We are getting ready for life. We're getting ready for summer, springtime, all that good stuff. We got this. We got this. Day 10. Yo. Day 10. We are a third of the way there. Well, tonight we will be. And I am so excited. Day 10. I haven't killed anybody. I got this. And humanity is better for it. Humanity is better for it because Lord knows it gets kind of ugly in the field. But, you know, grace, time, energy, positivity, you get better, you know. Again, we were talking about the practicing idea. Practicing prayers are practicing. So we got to practice. We have to practice our positivity. We have to practice our good intentions. We have to practice, and these are wonderful things to practice. Wonderful. This is the spice of life right here. So, you know, I feel honored to be practicing this with God. I feel honored to be practicing this with everyone that wakes up in the morning to do this. And even if you're hitting those basic 8 points, let's say you ain't got to the food fast, okay, that's still some work. There's still some inconvenience. I was out of town this weekend, this past weekend, and I passed McDonald's, Burger King, Subway, Zaxby's. I passed all the places that I eat, and I had the little one with me. And I'm like, okay, I had to pass this, and had ended up going to Publix to grab a salad to eat. Ended up going to other food, you know, markets to get food and supper for dinner. And it's like, you know, just that small inconvenience. Had to do a little extra driving, had to do a little more research. Food was filling, lovely, delicious. Had an angel cook for me, and I was like, you know, oh my God, our food is delicious. So it gave me a chance to break bread when I wouldn't have, but I should. So, you know, I love the fast is forcing me to see some things that were kind of right there in front of my face, you know. Hopefully everyone has taken the time to do their journaling. It's part of this now. You got to write it down. You got to write down where you are. It's so important that we start to benchmark our progress. We have to benchmark where we are, you know, how you feel, what you're thinking, what you're doing, you know. And I have, of course, the basic set for devotions. I got that. Yep. And then I have my extra sacrifice, which is the exercise, which has been coming very slow and it's been almost painful, but it's there, right? And then I have some other little things that I want, some other little things I want to be able to give good energy to. And I hope everyone has some little thing that they're hoping for. You know, it's not necessarily enough to write down. Or it's so private. It's like, oh, I don't even want to say this. I don't, you know. I had one sister say, can I ask for that? Can I say those? Yeah, you can say it. If you think it and you feel it, you can say it. And so I have a couple of those too, you know, where I'm like, man, I want to see some progress in this. I want to feel some extra energy in here. I want to do this. I want to do that. So everyone also has those hopes and wishes still. Those are sweet things. You know, when you hope for something, you know, when you wish for something, it's not quite there as a belief. You know, you're still working out some of the details in your own personal spirit. You know, but it's there. It's there enough for you to acknowledge that it's there. I hope everyone has at least one of those. One of those things where you can say, God, ooh, this would set me right. You know, God, this would really make my day. You know, and not something large, you know. And hate to say this, but it can't be involving someone else. You know, sometimes too many of our wants, wishes, and dreams are involved with other people, and that's how we get disappointed. We can't control other people. Stop trying. You have to understand that's not your person. That's God's person. How dare you come over here and interrupt what God is doing with his person? And you're like, oh, but I'm trying to be nice. And no, save your nice. Save your nice. I remember one time, Solomon was about 3, and he was struggling. We lived in an apartment complex, and, you know, the trash can is like, you know, a couple feet that way. And so he was struggling with the trash bag and kind of dragging it. And I'm like, if he breaks it, he's going to pick it all up. But he was struggling. And some kind woman saw him struggling and went to him and picked up the bag. I said, put that back. Put that back. I said, he's working. He's working on something. I'm right here supervising him. He's fine. He's not going to get a hernia because he's taking out the trash. And she just thought that was the cruelest thing in the world. No, it's not. What's cruel is having him think that he can't do something when he can. Cruel is not having him prepared to do his husband jobs when his wife says, honey, take out the trash. No woman dealing with none of my sons should have to say, take out the trash. They've been trained. No woman being with my sons will have to say, honey, I need you to make prayer. Because he'll already be on that. He's been trained from day one. So there's certain things I'm working on them on and everything like that. So I bring up all that to tell you, sometimes you helping someone else with their burden is not really helping them. Sometimes that burden is the lesson. And if you remove that burden from them, God will give them a different one. Or even the person will search out a different one. Okay? So sometimes the best thing we can do is encourage the person with the burden to handle their own burden. Now, I spent years and years in retreat after retreat after guided meditation teaching this. I need everyone to understand. A lot of times when you overly worry about helping somebody else, you have not taken care of your own trash. Then we can reach out to our families, because we all have families, biological, spiritual, fraternal sorority organizations, whatever. We all have families. Let's take care of our families next. Then let's take care of our neighborhoods. And I promise you, if everyone did that, oh, this world would be fine 3 times over. We'd be fine. But if we're not taking care of ourselves, what are we doing? We're being distracted. We're being disobedient, because God says, deal with you. We're out of balance. We're doing a whole bunch of other stuff. Okay? So, day 10, a third of the way through, let's spend some time focusing on you and some of those little things that you want, some of those little things that are lacking in your life. You know, those things that you can accomplish in a weekend if you really stop to think about it, if you focused on it, you can have them. Okay? Let's plan for our weekend. Okay? So much of what we do is with food, everything. Everything we do is with food. Everything we do is with drink. A lot of our socializing deals with food and drink. We can't. It's not like during devotions you can't socialize. I hope you socialize. I would love for you to spend some time getting, I mean, COVID has us isolated hard for a year. We got to get out, family. Let's get out. Spend some time. The weather hopefully is going to hold. But how can we do that and not be around the food? I went to a park last weekend, had a great time. Let's spend some time. What are we going to do? How are we going to manage this? And let's plan for it ahead of time. one thing about this fast, it has made me prioritize my daily activities. I got 3 phone conversations I got to have, and I'm like, man, I got to get to that call. I got to get to the call. But the problem is, if you don't eat till 8:15, let's say you're done by 8:45, okay, and then the day is getting late, and I'm like, man, I don't want to call late at night. Yeah, I don't want to call, you know, after 10:30. I don't want to call this late. So I have about 3-4 phone calls. I'm like, okay, stop what you're doing. Let's get to this. It's forcing me to prioritize. You know, I haven't, you know, I don't watch TV, but I don't know how people can afford to watch TV time-wise. Don't you have something to do? How are you managing your housework? Lord, if someone could tell me how to do the housework and everything else, I swear. So when I'm in the kitchen and I'm preparing dinner, and dinner was delicious, these vegetables, you know, I'm trying to do fruits and vegetables. By the time I get to dinner, I swear, some tofu and some bread, I'll eat anything. What is it? Plant-based plants? Okay, I'll get it. You know what I'm saying? Right now, by the time you get there, you are just so thankful for anything that if you make the right choice, it can be something good. It can be something good. And that choice that you're making, again with the C word, that choice that you're making is part of the sacrifice. Because you can easily, you know, Hot Pockets are real, you know what I'm saying? There's all kind of, you know, grilled cheese is real, but I'm trying to put a bread and a cheese. You know, I'm trying to get back to the garden. I'm trying to get back to those things that are beautiful and healthy and work so well with my body and everything. I'm trying to get there. So all this extra stuff, I don't have it. I don't have time for it. So, yeah, this is where I am. And I'm in such a good, happy place. You know, and that's, you know, as adults, I think we underestimate happy. As adults, I don't think we spend enough time researching what makes us happy, what drives this happy button, you know, what makes us happy, and then also how to nurture and maintain it. How do we be happy and righteous? Because I'm not a nun, you know what I'm saying, and I'm not expecting anyone else to be a nun. You know, I'm not, you know, this, I don't want to be this person that does nothing but stay in the house. You know, I don't want to do these things. I want to be able to have a life, and I want to be able to show people that you can have a life and follow God. Absolutely can. Please don't think that following God means that you don't get to have fun, don't get to enjoy yourself, enjoy good company, whatever, whatever. We just have to do it in a way that is going to be good. You know, we have our activities during the day and in the evening have to be good and righteous for us to wake up in the morning. And God to ask our angels, has this person been doing what I asked them to do? You see what I'm saying? So bowling, and the angels were like, yep, she was out bowling. She had a good time, laughed and joked, came right home. No beer, no nasty french fries. There you go. Going to the park. I think Sister Makita said she was out feeding ducks. I was like, man, I love my ducks. Traveling. I do a great deal of traveling, always having fun, and I can do so in a way that doesn't leave me regretful, deeper in my burdens, deeper in my sorrows, deeper, no. I can work and be for God and still enjoy myself. So it's just something I want everyone to think about, and the reason why we have to start thinking about it now is because guess what? Weekend is coming. Weekend is coming. We're going to be spending time again. Sundress season is here. We have some things to get ready for, you know. So let's start planning now because either you're planning to succeed or, you know, so we're trying to plan to succeed. You know, we want to be successful. We want to be able to spend time with each other, around each other without taking these negative burdens, these negative challenges with us. We're not trying to do that, okay? So let's think about it. Let's plan for it. I got a couple of festivals I'm trying to get to. So So let's have fun with our life as we're growing spiritually. How about? So looking at the book, managing through the difficulties. You know, these first 3 days, boom, 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 they've been rough ones. And I get it, you know, because starting any fast, it is rough. Going through any ending that you're trying to develop yourself, you know, self-development, self-healing, you know, self-care, all of this is rough. We have to clear away some things. You know, we have to try to be this positive influence. But first we have to get through some of these challenges that are right here in front of our face. So I'll ask the question that I've asked many times. How are we going to deal with this conflict? And 9 people out of 10 say, I'm going to avoid it. I'm like, so are you running? You're going to run. You're going to run. Don't run. Don't run. Don't forget, God has stated already that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, okay? So you wake up, you say your prayers, you get in line with God. What are you running for? What got you worried and scared? I don't tell God about my problems. I tell my problems about my God. I remind my problems that you don't know I am a highly favored child of God. You might need to back up off me. When these difficulties have been there for a minute, it's kind of hard, though, to pop your collar at them. You know what I'm saying? Lord, Spirit said it. When you relate it to the problem, it's a little difficult to go and be like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard when you share bloodlines. Kind of hard when you're married to the problem. It's kind of difficult. You know, it's kind of hard when the problem's your child and they look like you and you're like, what is this little booger doing? So it's a little difficult. It's not always easy. What about if it's difficult with your boss? I need this job. It's my third job in a month. I need this job. But this boss is a jerk, okay? Managing through the difficulties. Some of these difficulties ain't as easy to get away from. And Lord knows they're not easy to pop a collar on, because you've already kind of set the standard that you're weak on it. You've already set the standard that, oh, I'm just going to turn the other cheek. I mean, I'm like, how many cheeks you got? You turning a whole lot of cheeks. You're like the exorcist head going around and around, turning so many cheeks. Come on. There comes a point where you have to have a technique for actually approaching the issue. And it should be a wonderful approach. Spend the time researching what it takes to be good with this. Take the time to research, you know, what it takes to actually confront this. How do I chip away at it? See, I'll make a big problem small in a minute. I will divide it up, okay? I want to chop this up. Well, this part is good, and then that part is challenging, and this part is bad. Let's work on this challenge first. So in the book, it starts off bit by bit, the rat eats the elephant, okay? Now, I'm sure it's nasty. Rats don't eat elephants. And if you looked at a rat sitting beside an elephant, you would say, oh, there's no way that rat that could fit under the elephant's foot can eat that elephant. But it can. I promise you it can, bit by bit. You can do and accomplish anything that you want, bit by bit. You have to be willing to take it. You have to be able to take it slow. You have to be able and willing to take it slow, bite by bite. You have to be in for the long haul. You have to be able to be truthful. Good grief. How about? If you're not being truthful with yourself and you're not being truthful with those around you, you know, lying is a sin. Now, there are things that God likes and there's things that God doesn't like. And then there's things that God does not allow. Those are sins. So you have to stop and think, you know, am I doing something God likes? Yay. Points. brownies, cookies, love, all that good stuff. Am I doing something God does not like? And then am I just straight sinning? And what's your reason and excuse for that? How can you sit here, know God's word, and choose not to listen? Who are you? Why would you do that? Why would you take God's word and instructions and be so shallow with them, haphazard? Do you know what it takes for a parent to provide so much care for you? You know, we're talking about God the Father. We're talking about the mother. We're talking about all those positive angels, Orisha, our guardian angels, ancestors. God lines all this up for you. So I really want us to just stop and examine where we are and what we're doing. I want us to be grateful for all the beautiful things that God does for us and puts in our life. I want us to be clear as to how we can manage our difficulties. First, you may have to label what the difficulties are. You may have to really, really be honest and say, hey, look, this is difficult for me. You may have to sit back and say, hey, I'm not doing well with X. You know, I have an accountability partner, and it is so hard and difficult for me to be accountable to my accountability partner. I do not want to have those conversations. I would love to just blow it off, act like it doesn't exist, act like Spirit didn't tell me how to do this. I would love to do it, but I can't. I have to be accountable. I have to be accountable to my accountability partner. So even I have places and spaces where I have to check in and say, this is my progress. This is what I've done. This is what I haven't done. This is where I'm having a difficult time moving forward. This is where, you know, I'm you know, reflecting, whatever you're doing. I still have to have an accountability partner. So that means everyone should have an accountability partner. There should be a place and space, whether you're journaling every week and you're doing a review, whether you're speaking with someone, whatever. There should be a time and place when we spend time recognizing what we're doing, if it is the best, and how to get to the best. Don't take the cupcake when you know you want the whole cake. Don't take the cupcake. So spend some time thinking about the difficulties, thinking about how to move through them, thinking about how to make it better. Speak to someone, and I'm not traveling this weekend, family, so, you know. But speak to someone who shares your values, and you can ask a couple questions. Hey, you got 10 minutes? I have a question or two. There's some things I'd like to review. I would like to find out if this makes sense. I would like to find out if this is realistic, you know. Does it seem like something that can be done in 6 months, you know. Spend the time getting to know you. Spend some time getting to know those little wants and wishes a little bit better. And don't be ashamed of what you want. If you want it, you want it. Don't be ashamed. Shame doesn't get us anywhere. You know, I remember when Adam and Eve, and I don't have time for that story, but I remember when Adam and Eve and had just eaten the apple, and God came, and they were hiding, their nakedness, and God was like, who told you you were naked? You know what I'm saying? Who introduced this idea that you were exposed? Because you've been exposed. You've been exposed to me. Now, who put in you a question as to whether that is right or wrong or anything else like that? How did that come about? And that's something that we need, you know, that as we go forward in our life and we're dealing with God and we're dealing with everything else, That's a real question. Who made you vulnerable? Because with me, you were strong. So, just something to think about as we're trying to manage through our difficulties. Don't be afraid to look at your difficulties. Don't be afraid to tell your difficulties where they could go, what they can do for you. Okay? All right. So going into our second book, we're talking about spiritual difficulties, right? So in our second book, the word is spiritual discipline. Woo-hoo! Too tight. Too tough. You know, these books, when I was putting them together, and I write, but I don't think I'm a writer. But I'm sitting here, and I'm getting all this good stuff together, and Spirit just, like, leaning me this way, leaning me that way. And I'm like, okay, well, all right, I got this. They're really, really excellent reference tools, okay? So, I mean, I want you to read them and enjoy them and stuff like that. But I want you also to see the study and then to apply the study. Apply the study for yourself. If there's a particular topic and you're like, man, this topic really is speaking to me, is doing this, is doing that, spend some time, you know, trying to understand why and how, okay? Time restraint. All right, so the blessed man, this is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. God, through Jeremiah, provides an excellent commentary on spiritual depth. Thus said the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes his flesh. This is why I don't have a pulpit. I'm like, y'all don't hear me. This is why I don't have one. Cursed is the man who trusts in men, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in inhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out roots by the stream and does not fear when he comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Amen.